Welcome Rams fans, welcome Patriot fans, welcome football fans. This by far is my favorite weekend of the year where we combine football and church together. My name is Paco Pancham, representing the Crossroads Student Ministry, alongside this handsome fella representing the east side of Cincinnati, Crossroads East Side, Greg McElfrish. We will be your voices for the proceedings today.
That's right. Well, Paco, we've got a great head-to-head competition down on the field. If you've never been here, a little context. This is a high-energy football-style preaching competition. It's full of crazy commercials, a halftime show you don't want to miss, and a terrible referee who does not know what he's doing. And so we just want to...
Like the actual NFL. Perfect.
Like the actual NFL. That's right. We've got some good commentators coming with us. Here's Solomon Wilcott and Anthony Munoz.
Thanks, guys. The day is finally here. Super Bowl of Preaching 2019, the 17th edition, and a special one at that. I'm now joined by my good friend, Bengals legend, and NFL Hall of Famer, Anthony Munoz.
Thanks, Solomon. It's great to be here at Crossroads. What an exciting event and competition we have lined up today.
And Anthony, you're used to playing in the big games. You played in two Super Bowls, Super Bowl 16 and Super Bowl 23. Can you speak to what this day really means for the players?
Yes, this is the culmination of all their hard work. It comes down to today. The lights are bright, all eyes are on you. The stage simply doesn't get any bigger than this.
No doubt, and before Brian and Chuck go head-to-head on the big stage, they went head-to-head on a smaller but cuter stage. Let's take a look.
The first Crossroads Puppy Bowl was an epic display of cuteness this year. Brian and Chuck coached up their pups in their own style.
What you do now echoes in eternity.
Heroes are remembered. Legends never die.
This is what separates the puppies from the dogs.
I am so proud of the puppies you are, and I'm even more proud of the dogs you're becoming.
We show them who's the real dog pound.
Who's a good boy?
There were penalties.
Turned down, turned on the field. No humping the quarterback. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Holding.
There were scores.
There you go! Hey!
Touchdown, Team Blue!
Yes, touchdown! Woo-hoo-hoo!
But in the end, Team Tome came out victorious. No bones about it. At the Puppy Bowl, everybody's a winner.
Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Okay.
No licking the senior pastor.
Well, that was a lot. See what I mean? It just doesn't get any better than that, Anthony.
No, Solomon, no, it doesn't.
Well, I got a chance to sit down with both Brian and Chuck and go one-on-one leading up to today. Let's see what they had to say. Brian Tome, senior pastor, Super Bowl 17. Are you ready for another rodeo?
Solomon, yippee-ki-yay, hee-haw, put me on the horse, put me in, coach.
Well, Chuck Mingo wasn't nearly able to participate. He had to overcome an ankle injury. How might that affect your preaching plan?
Chuck is almost always never nearly able to participate. I don't know what he did. Tripped on a Lego. He kind of stumbled over his own earring. I don't know what the heck he did, but, you know, the guy's made out of paper mache. He really is. But hey, give it to the guy. Even in the midst of milking that boot for 6 months, he did some great work this year, and I'm very thankful for him.
Super Bowl of Preaching 2019, who wins?
Who wins? Simple answer. It's as simple as 12 times 12. Equals 143. It's gonna be Team Tome all day long. I'm gonna be jamming the Bible down Mingo's throat at every single turn. Whenever he thinks he can't get away from it, why he's not gonna be away from it? Because I'm gonna be in his face with what God wants out of his life. It's gonna be smackdown preaching all day long. He's gonna be beaten and bruised until he's lying on his grandmother's grave saying kumbaya.
We're now joined by Chuck Mingo, Oakley community pastor, teaching pastor, you name it, and he probably does it. Chuck, I understand you had a very adverse offseason a broken ankle due to a motorcycle accident. Yeah. Talk to me about the rehab. Have you fully recovered, and are you ready and fit to go for the big game?
Well, make no mistake about it. I'm ready. I'm ready to play. I'm fit. So that is for sure going to happen today. Man, you know how it is. You have an injury, you got to take the rehab seriously. And I did. You know, I did physical therapy. But I said, why stop there? You know, I did some cryotherapy. I did aromatherapy. I did a little pet therapy. I did some spa therapy. I did what I needed to do to be prepared to win this weekend.
Super Bowl of preaching, 2019. Who wins?
You're looking at the winner. You're looking at the winner right here. Team Mingo, all the way.
Anything to say to Brian Tone?
Oh, yeah. We ready. We ready. We ready for y'all. Bring it on. Let's do this thing.
Well, one thing's for certain. Anthony, both guys are ready to bring it.
They've talked the talk. Now, let's see if they can walk the walk.
Indeed. Well, that's going to be it for Anthony and I. Guys, let's send it back to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to tell you, today it's going to be really hard to keep these guys reined in. To do it, we've got some rules. Paco, lay them on us.
That's right. Okay, guys, here's how this thing's going to work today. Each team is going to get to preach 2 7-minute quarters. And during those quarters, they can use up to 3 references. One has to be from the Bible. Okay? And also, in each quarter, the participant is going to get a random phrase that they must effectively work into their message. Now, these are completely random. They haven't seen them before,
right,
and they're different each time.
People ask us every time, they knew those. No, they did not know them. Totally random.
Totally random. And maybe even the most important is the referee has complete jurisdiction and will reward any and all points and penalties.
We're going to head down to the field for today's starting lineups.
And now, your 2019 starting lineups. The visiting team, led by a 17-year Super Bowl preaching veteran from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, alongside a table saw wrestling designer from Bellbrook, Ohio, a team with more chest hair than they know what to do with, give it up for
stage is set.
Paco, what is Ranson reading over there?
It looks like a Tom Brady book, and he looks like he's following the instructions. I'm uncomfortable.
Unbelievable. Well, folks, there you have it. We've met the players. We've heard the rules. Only one thing to do. We're going to head down to the field with our officiant for today, West Side of Cincinnati community pastor Matt Castleman. And we got to be quick. He's got to get to a shift at the Foot Locker. Matt.
All right, gentlemen, let's bring it in for the coin toss. Now, I want a good, clean game today. Can anyone make change for a dollar?
Hold on. Yeah, here you go. Hey, I got 4, but go ahead and keep that extra one, too.
Hey. Thanks, Chuck. I'll remember that.
All right.
Ryan Thomas, senior pastor, you will call the coin in the air.
Heads be rolling when I'm done preaching.
It is heads.
Ooh.
Would you like to kick or receive the Bible?
I will receive.
All right. Let me hold it.
Team Tom going to receive the kickoff. Mingo to kick.
Oh, recovered by Tome.
Great block by Ranson.
We may have an injury before it's even begun.
Please choose your totally random phrase. Brian, your random phrase is, guys, you have to see me pirouette.
You have to see me pirouette.
Dreams do come true. Let's see how this goes.
All right, you know, every year we do this because it's become a bit of a tradition because we have a country that's incredibly and increasingly divided, but one thing we can all agree on is we want to see a good game Super Bowl Sunday. Am I right? Yeah. Yes. So we come in here and laugh a little bit because God has enabled us to laugh, and we also want to get all of us a better picture of who God is and have that make some impact on our lives. Just pray before I do anything or we do anything else today. God, I thank you for today. Thank you for the ability to laugh. And I thank you for the ability to learn. Would you please do something in every life, every heart that's represented in every Crossroads facility, in every coffee shop, in every living room across the nation? Thank you for the honor to do this today, God. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. So I'm just curious, how many people in here like to win? Who likes to win? Who likes to win? How many people in here like to lose? Just raise your hand. How many people in here just never raise their hand whenever they're asked something? Just raise your hand. Who always sits around passive like a bump on a log whenever a preacher asks a question. Okay. Have you ever wondered why is it that we want to win? I believe it's part of God's character that's inside of every human being. You know, the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, it says that men and women are created in the image of God. As much as I love my dog and my cat, they're not created in the image of God. There's things that we can do, that we want to do, that no other created entity wants to do. It says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, it says that God created them, male and female. In the image of God, he created them. I don't think animals want to win. They're not interested in winning at all. They're interested in what? They're interested in surviving. They're not interested in winning. They're interested in surviving. When in first grade, those of us who had recess during school before it was probably outlawed because it was too dangerous and you had to wear a helmet every time you went out to recess. Way back when, in my day, when you have to wear helmets and seatbelts to recess, we would go out and just race each other just to see who was fastest, who would win, who would lose. I don't think there's ever been two cheaters who said, hey, let's see who's fastest, just for the heck of it. No, they're running fast to kill so they can survive. Other animals are running fast so they can get away. I know that you and I do not like to lose at all. Vince Lombardi said, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. No one likes to lose. And I want us to consider that today, that might be because the very heart and character of God is in you. You need to feel like God wants you and you want to win, and it's a good thing to want to win a business. It's a good thing to want to win and have a great relationship. It's a good thing to want to win and actually be getting ahead financially. It's a good thing to actually win when you and your volunteer organization is trying to go after a worthy goal. Winning, it's a good thing. And guess what? We all don't win. I'm sorry that the preacher man has to tell us that. Sorry, there's no participation trophies in heaven. There's not. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, this is a New Testament book. This is the Apostle Paul, who's responsible for much of the New Testament and planting a lot of churches. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners win, but only one gets the prize? Run so that you can get the prize. And then he continues. And he says, we run and we are who we are as athletes, exercising self-control to get a wreath that goes on forever. You know, you can have great quarterly results in business, but it's a perishable wreath. But you can also live your life in such a way that you can win forever and ever and ever. I hate to tell you that loserliness is not next to godliness. It's not, but somehow we think that. No, there are winners and there are losers. Now, this doesn't mean that Crossroads, the church, is competing against the churches down the street and trying to beat them. This is not a zero-sum game where somebody else has to lose. This is to say, the lane that God has you in your school career, in your business, in your relationships, and how you're taking care of your body, and how you're understanding God, you will win or you will lose in those lanes. Do you want to win? Do you want to win? I hope you do. I hope you do. And I want you to know there is such a thing as losing. We have to see that God wants us to win. He says, there, do you not know in a race, oh, all the participants run, but only one gets the prize? Run to get the prize. Tom Brady, I'm wearing his jersey today. This one will probably be the very first Super Bowl where I'm going to actually be cheering for Tom Brady. I've not been a Tom Brady or I've not been a New England Patriots fan, but eventually you got to realize, man, when middle-aged white guys win, that's a good thing. That's just a, and the guy, no matter what he does, he's winning. I bet if he went to his daughter's recital for ballerina class, he would say, hey guys, you have to see me do the pirouette. Watch how Tom Brady
is. There it is. Coming out strong.
BT pirouette. Oh, well done.
That's what I'm talking about.
Booyah. Flag on the play.
Unpreacher-like conduct, excessive celebration. The three-point penalty will be removed at the end of this round.
The crowd does not like the call.
The ref's playing a big part in the game again.
I have to tell you, as a 53-year-old guy, I feel more and more the need to win. I want to win. I just want that. When I was earlier in life, it was a good thing to work towards. Yes, it would be nice, it would happen. But as life goes on, I realize I have one life. And I want my marriage to win, and my marriage is lost at times. I have one life, and I want whatever I'm leading to win. And if it loses, and that's what God wants, then okay, but I'm not going to run my life in such a way that it will lose. Now, the interesting thing about winning with God is sometimes, the ways that we win look like we're losers. We win in different ways. That's a whole nother sermon, but I'm just trying to say now, friends, you and I have to want our life to matter. We have to want to win. We have to take it personal, and we have to be okay getting a burn and getting a workout in the areas where we want to win. If you want to win, you're going to have to figure out a workout regimen. You're going to have to figure out sacrifice, and you're going to have to say no to other things that losers are saying yes to. I want you to win. We all want to win. Let's try to get there this Super Bowl weekend.
Touchdown, Team Cone!
Right there.
Heck yeah.
Brian, you have the opportunity to answer your bonus question here. Worth 1 point. What do most scholars believe is the oldest written book in the Bible? You have 5 seconds.
The Book of Job.
That is correct!
Booyah!
You are awarded 6 points for a great message. However, there was a 3-point penalty for excessive celebration, but you yet included the random phrase and the bonus point, resulting in an end of first quarter score. Team Tome, 7, Team Mingo, 0. That's the end of the first quarter.
Well, there you have it, folks. Already questionable calls. You notice the referee calling them bonus points, not extra points. That's what you expect from a theater major.
That's right. Brian Tome showing us why he is senior pastor, challenging us to win, rather than just survive and dancing.
You like it.
Gotta love it.
Let's head back down to the field for the start of the second quarter.
Team Mingo, you maintain possession of the Bible for the second quarter. Please choose your random phrase. No peeking. Your random phrase is, and if I'm being honest, I wouldn't fit in a kangaroo's pouch anyway.
Okay, let's try this again. Hey, everybody. It is great. Oh,
Delay of game. Not having your mic turned on. There will be a 3-point penalty assessed at the end of this quarter.
Ouch. Starting from behind. Let's see if she can recover. Allie Patterson.
I'm sorry, I didn't want you to hear me go to the bathroom a little while ago. Forgot to turn it back on. It's great to be back in my second Super Bowl of preaching. And today we are talking about how you win. If you want to win, then you need to play a long game. One thing I know for sure after being in the Super Bowl is that you don't get to any Super Bowl of football, of preaching, or anything else without learning how to play the long game. Look at this. This is a young Tom Brady right here. I promise you, at some point, he stood on the field right around this time in his life, and he said, "Coach, someday I'm going to win the Super Bowl. And if I'm being honest, I wouldn't fit in a kangaroo's pouch anyway."
Slides in the right. Random phrase goes to a mediocre
the
response.
Long game is when we put our eye on something out ahead of us, something of value, something that's worth more to us than what we have in our life today, and we call it and we go all in. God has a long game for your life, and I know he does. I know he does because he is the God of the long game. God himself is playing a game in human history, and he invites us into it. The best wins in our life will come when we wrap our life around the long game of God. I think we can learn great long game technique from looking at something that's going on in the NFL this year. If you're an NFL fan at all, then you know who a guy named Patrick Mahomes is. Patrick Mahomes is the Kansas City Chiefs star quarterback. This guy is something special. 50 passing touchdowns, over 5,000 yards. And the only reason that Mahomes is playing when and how he's playing now is because his coach, Andy Reid, knows how to play the long game in the NFL. The NFL long game is a franchise quarterback, a Tom Brady, if you will, not that we're not all tired of him, but that's the long game in the NFL. It means a guy who's talent, not just talented, but who the team, the owners, the records, the fans, everybody can revolve around for years into the future. And when someone showed Reid films of Mahomes coming into the 2017 draft, he thought, this might just be my guy. This might be my all-in moment. And they invited him to a pre-draft workout, and at that workout, they saw the X factor, the all-in moment. See, Mahomes has a photographic memory. Just like other NFL greats, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, guys that are either in or on their way to the NFL Hall of Fame. And that was the moment that Reid said, I'm all in. This is my long game. And when he said that, he knew he would have to pay the short-term cost. And he did pay. He gave up draft picks that year and the following year, knowing Mahomes would sit idle for a year, at least a year. And he took all kinds of crazy criticism in the press for walking away from the very good quarterback that he already had named Alex Smith. But he knew what his long game was. He knew the moment to go in on it. And mark my words, one of us will be wearing the Mahomes jersey on this stage next year. That's the long game. I have a long game in my life, and I believe that it's been in me since before I was born, only I didn't know it for a very long time. I started having nightmares when I was about 6, maybe 7 years old, and I had them for 20 years. And the scenario would change, but the pattern of the dream was always the same. Somebody I loved, people I knew, somebody I worked around, they were in trouble. And I had the chance to help them, but I could never do it. I could never do it because I couldn't speak. And I would scream, and I would bang, and I would try to tell them something, and no words would ever come out of my mouth. And I would wake up terrified, clawing at my own throat, convinced that when I tried to talk a word for real, that nothing was actually going to come out of my mouth. And year after year, I watched terrible things happen to people in dreams for 2 decades, and they stopped cold the day that I told God I would go all in on him. I have never had another nightmare. And that was the day I said to him, okay, I will do it. I am yours. Wherever you're going, I'm going. One small step toward him killed 20 years of nightmares, you guys. And I put it off, and I put it off, and I put it off because there was a cost, and I knew it in my gut. and I have paid costs. I've walked away from a career. I've gone back to school. I've given up relationships and friendships. I even work for this guy. There's always a short-term cost to our long game, but God has a better win for your life. And whether you know it or not, you are ready to play. Listen to these words from Ephesians 1. Even before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Friends, God has seen your films and he went all in on you. He said, "You are my Mahomes." And when he went all in, it was with the life of his son. He paid the highest possible cost. When his son came to earth and lived a life you will never be able to live, and he died a death that we deserve to die. You and I are the long game of God, and he is calling us to him through his son Jesus because he's gone all in on us. But some of us are sitting idle. Some of us are on the sidelines, and this will be your all-in moment. Maybe it will be as tiny as mine. Maybe it's one line you'll say to God today. Maybe you will say, "God, today, show me how I'm part of your long game." Or maybe you can't do that, and it's just showing up here next weekend. Or maybe it's not answering the text from the person that you know just texted you. Maybe it's just taking the hand of the person you came here with as an act of reconciliation. Whatever it is, I want you to stop messing around with all the stuff that's right in front of you. Give up that tiny, disappearing short-term gain and play for the best wins of your life, the wins that come from wrapping your life around the long game of God. And when you see your all-in moment, do it, because you have a God that went all in on you.
Touchdown, Team Mingo!
That's a good word. Well, hey, folks, we got a halftime show coming up, but we know why you really come. Here's a commercial break.
Do you find yourself unable to perform normal, everyday adult activities? Introducing Carol, the hottest new app that matches you with an empty nester mom to help you with all the things. Because the struggle's real. Adulting is hard. Moms on Carol give hugs, provide home-cooked meals, laundry, and car service. Check out some of our featured profiles. Carol is life. Once matched with a mom, the two of you will connect on the app to find a place for a quick meeting and coffee sesh. Don't wait. Connect with your very own personal assistant, mom, on Carol today. Because who has time for adulting when you're busy posting on Insta?
Mom?
The Carol app. When you can't even, mom can.
For me, anxiety and depression was heavy and isolating. I spent every ounce of my energy fitting myself into this perfect image of what I thought would make me feel loved. The more I tried to be pretty, admired, smart, and wanted, the more I grew to hate myself and this person I was trying to become. I remember asking God for help. I cried myself to sleep most nights, just wanting to no longer exist.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. Throwing back to light of the sky. Gonna sweep from the chandelier. I wanna live like tomorrow doesn't exist. Like it doesn't exist. I wanna fly like a bird.
was in and out of a relationship, and sure, if a girl invited me to church, I would go. I came into college not wanting any relationship, wanting to talk and hook up with girls, go to all the frat parties. However, I started dating. While dating, I would have so many what-if questions. What if this person is not right for me? What if I'm meant to be with someone else?
Baby, lay on back and relax. Kick your pretty feet up on my dash. No need to go nowhere fast. Let's enjoy right here where we at. Who knows where this road is supposed to lead? We got nothing but time. As long as you're right here next to me, everything's gonna be alright. Cause if it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. So come on, ride with me, and see where this thing goes. Ride with me, baby. So maybe we do,
maybe we don't,
and maybe we will,
maybe we won't.
But if it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be.
We got married in 2011.
Our relationship wasn't the highest priority. It felt like we were just passing time together.
Marty began to pursue another relationship, so it was causing a lot of tension in our marriage. Pressure was building. We couldn't do this anymore.
We got a divorce.
Dreams. For me, it was finding a career that I was happy in, finding someone to spend my life with. That all started to fade. I actually got involved in a relationship with a man that would quickly take me down a path which led me to a lot of abuse, drug dealing, isolation from my friends and family. I was found guilty of drug-related charges, and I was sentenced to 5 years in prison. God literally met me right in the middle of the weakest moment of my entire life. You know, you don't realize that God is all you need until He's all you have. I learned to be who He had created me to be.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Precious, chosen, loved, and worth dying for.
Found myself signing up for Man Camp. I went, and I simply just met God. So my girlfriend, who invited me to church, yeah, we quickly realized that Jesus, He was not the center of our relationship. Fast forward, we're getting married this summer.
We both grew closer to God as our divorce was being finalized.
I still feel that God had plans. We began a new life together.
We remarried later that year.
The same year that we were divorced.
If He can meet me in prison, if He can love me and give me freedom, I know God can do the same for you.
I hear the chains falling.
to see people's lives go from here to there, from one place to a new place, that's what we're all about.
That's right. You know, the place that that happens the most, where we see life change, is right here on a weekend, wherever you're watching, but also camps. We mentioned this earlier. Crossroads has 400 acres, beautiful spot overlooking a river. We do camps there. We do a man's camp, a couple's camp, a women's camp, and we want you to know that signups are now open. They're not just open. We want to sweeten the pot a little because just for watching today, you get to enter a chance to win a free spot at one of those camps. So everyone, wherever you're at right now, I want you to take out your phone and go to crossroads.net/camps because you're going to enter to win. Listen to this. We want to pay your way to the camp of your choosing.
That's awesome.
Not just that, we want to pay the way of someone to go with you to the camp of your choosing. And I know you're thinking, well, yeah, I don't have the camping gear. Well, how's $250 to get all the gear you need sound? Little REI gift card.
That
you like it?
Awesome. Hey, today we're having a great time. Today we've got Team Tome versus Team Mingo going head to head. And we've been talking a lot about team. Well, around here, we reserve the name team, the concept of team, to really identify people that are not just generous with their time, but are generous with their money around here.
So as those bags go around or online, you can go to crossroads.net/give while you have your phone out doing the giveaway. Let's head to another commercial break.
I chatted with a lady who had just been released from prison. She wanted to know which Crossroads site was closest to her. So we contacted the Mason site where they were able to find her a really good community to come alongside of her. I'm Tierra, and I lead our community care team. So my team answers any questions that you have that could be as small as, how do I stream? What's the opening hours? Or, I need prayer. Everything in my life is going down. I'm lonely. My marriage stinks. I need someone to be there for me. For me and for my team, it gives us energy to come alongside of people in their journeys, to let them know that God loves them, and that as a church, we care about you, and we want to be there for you. I'm willing to get in the mud with somebody to be with them in the midst of suffering. Your voice matters. We'd love to talk to you. Crossroads Community Care, chat, text, email, Facebook, phone, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day, Eastern Standard Time.
Don't pass up this opportunity for an exclusive buy one, get one free Super Bowl Foot Locker sale. Stop on by any Foot Locker location for a shoe for any...
Team Tome, you maintain possession of the Bible for the third quarter. Oh, look at that, how'd that get here? A buy one, get one coupon for Foot Locker.
I'll take that, thank you.
Interesting, crazy. Yep. Please choose your random phrase. Your random phrase is, so I submit to you that we are the weaker team. Really, we should be ashamed.
We are the weaker team.
This might get personal.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, fill in the blank. Defense wins championships. It's too bad that's wrong, isn't it? I mean, it is, but I do know how you win, and I'm happy to share it with you. I looked this up on the internet. It turns out, in order to win, get this, you need to score the most points. That's how you win. Turns out, and that's crazy, and you might not believe it, and I didn't either, so I did a little more research, and actually came up with a list. This is the list of all the teams that have ever won a championship despite not scoring any points. This list includes all professional leagues, colleges, rec centers, retirement homes, everything. Here's a whole list. Champions who won despite not scoring any points. Here it is. Nobody! Of course not! Defense doesn't win.
Ooh, got a flag early.
Offsides, emotional encroachment. stop yelling at us, please. 3-point penalty be assessed.
Listen, if you're still not convinced, here's what somebody much smarter than me said. This is the guy who wrote the book Freakonomics. It says, the sentiment has hardened from cliche into an article of sports law. But is it actually true? Does defense really win championships? In a word, no. No. Defense doesn't win championships. Offense does. Offense wins championships. And here's why this matters for us. Because when you and I lock into a defense-first mindset, we inadvertently end up running the prevent defense life. You know what I'm talking about, prevent defense, right? This is like every football fan's worst nightmare. Like, oh crap, the prevent defense. I don't know how this makes any sense, and I know there's a football coach out there who would argue with me and tell me he has a place in the game, but listen, here's what I see happen. The coach gathers everybody around the huddle. He's like, okay, guys, get in here. Get in here. Now listen. What we've been doing all game, it's been working, and it's been working great. I mean, they got no answers for us. So what I'm thinking now is let's do something, you know, completely different and just kind of see how that goes. All right, good, great. Makes no sense. The only thing the prevent defense prevents is winning. That's it. And I wonder about your life. I wonder if you're inadvertently running the prevent defense life, and maybe, just maybe, that's why it feels like you're losing. Maybe for you, you're in a job that you don't like, or a major that's not for you, and you haven't done anything about it. And while you may be preventing the hard change that comes from making a switch, you're also losing out on finding a career that you love. Or maybe for you, your marriage is just in the tank. It's just in the tank, but you haven't done anything about it. And while you may be preventing making the sacrifice necessary to repair the relationship, you are also losing out on a marriage that's better and more incredible than you can imagine. Or maybe for you, you're just kind of stuck. You're tired of trying to do life on your own, and maybe you've been coming here for a bit, and you're starting to think this Jesus guy may be who he says he actually is, but you haven't crossed that line of faith once and for all. You haven't done anything about it. And while you may be preventing handing over the keys of your life, you're also losing out on the best life imaginable. No, we got to get this. Defense doesn't win championships. Offense does. The one who scores the most points wins every single time, except for golf. I did want to point that out. You don't
good
win at golf.
Good clarification.
But this
clarifier
is a football thing, so we'll just skip that. Listen, the God of the Bible is a God of offense. He's the God who says, go for it, go for it. Here's what he says in one place, Joshua 1:9. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Go for it. Now, football's catching up to this fact. You notice how many more teams chose to go for it on fourth down this year rather than punt? I mean, for so long, you only went for it on fourth down if you were behind by a bunch and it was the fourth quarter. Other than that, you just punt and play defense, you know? But statistics are proving that if you want to win the game, the better idea is to hold onto the ball and, get this, try to score more points. There's what one really smart guy says about that. He says, one of my favorite sayings is fortune favors the bold, Pro Football Focus head data scientist George Shahuri said. I feel like really in this situation, going for it on fourth down, it's fortune favors the logical. It would be a risk not to go for it. Not to go for it is the risk. This isn't just a theory for me. This offense-first mindset, this is how I've lived my life. This is the story of me getting married. I met a girl in March. I asked her to marry me in May. We got married in September, and in our first Valentine's Day together, we had already been married for 5 months. And 13 years and 3 kids later, I would do it all over again, only faster this time. I would. I really would. And I know what some of you are thinking. Somebody in here is thinking, calm down, little guy. Calm down. All right, woo. Sound a little bit hasty. Sound a little bit hasty. I mean, doesn't the Bible says that I submit to you, we're the weaker team, and really, we should be ashamed. Just lose. Isn't that what the Bible says? No, it's not what the Bible says. Of course not. It says to win. Did you listen to what he said? It says to win. It says to win. Listen, Proverbs talks about haste. And I want to make sure we understand this. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who's hasty comes only to poverty. Now, we think these are opposites, that diligence is the opposite of haste, but it's not. The opposite of haste is paralysis, not moving. In football terms, it's the prevent defense life and the Hail Mary life. And I'm not saying we should live in either one of those sections, but what I am saying is you and I have to pick where in the spectrum our life will fall. What kind of life will we run? And for me, what I'm saying is I want the hash mark closest to haste, because I think that's where diligence lives. Diligence is going for it. It's action, relentless offense, again and again and again without stopping. That's what diligence means, and it leads to abundance. Listen, I'm just convinced there's a place in your life where God's rooting for you to start playing offense, and it's time, man. It's time. It's time to enroll at the community college. It's time to switch jobs. It's time to change your major. It's time to start getting out of debt. It's time to ask that girl to marry you. It's time to break up with him if he doesn't, okay? Just move on. Listen, and most of all, it is time to cross the line of faith once and for all to say, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. It is time to start playing offense. God wants you to win. Listen, it is time. It is time. It is time for you to win.
Touchdown, Team Combs.
Love is all about time and place. It's your time. But maybe you're not looking in the right place. With thousands of dating apps out there, how do you know that the one you have is the one for you? Introducing Dryspell, the app to help you find the app to find the one you love. Using the app is simple. Just type in your name, age, and all of the expectations you think one person could possibly meet. And in just a few short seconds, your results will be in. If the results aren't to your liking, you can simply refine your search. Give us the flaws in others that result in you still being single. List the oddly specific hobbies that are a deal breaker. Tell us your height, because apparently that still matters. With our extensive network of dating apps, we can make sure you find the right fit. Apps like Honk, the dating app for birthday clowns, Knit to Commit, Server, the dating app for English lit and art majors, D&D and You and Me, Dungeons and Dragons and You and Me, and Tinder. Dryspell. Find the right one to find the right one. Because the problem isn't just your fear of commitment.
Team Mingo, you will have possession of the Bible for the fourth quarter. You need 9 points to win the game. Your random phrase is, and that's why I'm banned from the Cracker Barrel.
Banned from the Cracker Barrel.
All right, hey, wherever you are, I want you to put four fingers in the air. It's the fourth quarter. Who's ready for the fourth quarter? It's the fourth quarter. If you're in your living room, I want your hands up in the air. The fourth quarter. When you see this at a football game, people know there's about to be a test. There's about to be a test. You know, we've heard a lot about winning today. Brian talked about the fact that winning is in the way that God made us. We're created in his image. I love Allie talking about going all in and actually playing the long game. And Kyle telling us, hey, offense is what we need to win. If we're going to win, we need to move. But if you know anything about life, you know that when you start to move, you can expect a struggle, right? You know a struggle is coming. I got 6.5 minutes to preach, and I gotta be honest, I'm not preaching to everybody in here in those 6.5 minutes. I wanna preach to people in here who feel like they're in the middle of a struggle. I wanna preach to people who feel like they are undersized for the challenge. Like, anybody feeling undersized for the challenge that you're facing right now? Anybody got people counting you out as an underdog for the thing that you're facing right now? And I want you to know this. I want you to lock in and hear me really clearly. You win through the struggle. You win through the struggle. We don't win when we go around the struggle. We don't win when we run from the struggle. We win when we go through the struggle. James 1:2 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for joy." Is that crazy talk or what? Right? But the Bible has something to say about the power of a struggle. Here's why. Because you and I need resistance to grow.
We need resistance to grow. And so think about the way it is when you're putting on weight, when you're trying to build muscle. You have to stretch your muscles beyond the capacity where they've been before if you're going to grow your muscles. It's the same thing that you need if you're trying to go forward in anything. There's going to be a level of stress. There's going to be a level of challenge. And in that resistance, you and I grow. We grow. I love the stories that we heard at halftime. I love the stories of people who have gone from a challenge to a place of breakthrough. You know, and we can think about it and say, man, you know what? My life isn't playing out in that 8 minutes that way. And if you could sit down and have coffee with any of those folks, I'm sure they would tell you it was more of a struggle than that. It was more of a struggle than that. In fact, I had a chance to do that, to talk to some of those folks and hear their stories. And I got so excited, I started shouting out of my seat. And that's why I got banned from the Cracker Barrel, because I was so excited about that.
Oh, wow.
What bam! Placement. Spikes the random phrase.
Come on, unbelievable performance from Mingo. I love it.
Got a challenge flag.
A challenge flag.
Actually hits him with the flag.
You dropped your flag, sir.
No. What? Why is he not? Why is he not penalized? What I already did.
He good gave no you a call, quarter. Ref.
Good I no call, ref. Good no call, ref. Good no call, ref. No, I love those stories at halftime. And it reminds me that there is a struggle. There is something to a struggle for all of us. We all want to avoid the struggle. None of us want that difficulty. But the truth is, without the chance of failure, we don't get to breakthrough. Without the chance of difficulty, of it not working out, we don't get to breakthrough. You know, if you've been called undersized or feel like you're undersized by the challenge you're facing, if you feel like you are underestimated right now in your life, if you're facing something big and you're in the middle of a struggle, you might relate to one of the unsung heroes in today's Super Bowl. His name is Julian Edelman, and he's a wide receiver for the New England Patriots. Julian Edelman is an incredible example of someone overcoming a struggle. This guy was a football player in high school. He was 4'10" in high school playing quarterback. Can you believe that? He was 4'10". Nobody thought this guy could ever play at the next level. And so only one college gave him a shot to play quarterback. And that college is a powerhouse a little bit north of where we are in Cincinnati, Ohio right now. Kent State University. Yes, you thought I was going to say Ohio State University, but no, Ohio State wouldn't look at this guy. And so this is a guy who had belief that he could go to the next level, that he could win at the next level. So you know what? He waited until the 232nd pick in the draft, and he was drafted by the New England Patriots, and the 4'10" Kent State quarterback that now is a wide receiver is set up to get his sixth Super Bowl win this weekend. Man, I'm telling you, that's what it looks like to overcome a struggle. And he gets excited about a struggle. In fact, if you think about 2 years ago, the New England Patriots were about as terrible as they could be in the first half of Super Bowl 51. They were playing the Atlanta Falcons, and the Atlanta Falcons put it on them. It was 21-3 at halftime. And I will tell you, I think everybody in America thought that game was over. It was a shock, but we thought it was over. And only 65 people thought they had a chance of winning that game. It was the Patriots themselves. And I'm telling you, and at halftime, there's actually an image of this, of Julian Edelman talking to Tom Brady. And he's saying to Tom Brady, as they're about to play and try to come from behind, 21-3, he looks at him and he says, "This is going to be one hell of a story, Tom. This is going to be one hell of a story." Because he knew that when you're in a really bad place, God can do something. I don't know his faith story, but I tell you what, I know it's true that if you feel like you're really in a bad place, God can do something. So I want you to get on board with what God might be doing in the midst of your struggle, because on the other side of your struggle is an amazing breakthrough. And Jesus is the perfect example in this, guys. He's the perfect example, because there was a Friday in Israel that looked like it was the end of Jesus' story, because Jesus was on this side and he was facing a cross, and he was going to die on that cross. He was going to suffer on that cross. He was going to bear the shame and the pain on that cross that you and I deserve. And on this side of the cross, it looked like the end of his story. But Jesus walked through the struggle. He walked through the difficulty. And 3 days later, he got up out of the grave, and what looked like the end of his story on Friday looked like one hell of a story on Sunday. And I'm here to tell somebody that God wants to do one hell of a story in your life. You may not know how it's going to happen. You may not know how you're going to get through the struggle, but I want you to know you don't have to struggle alone. You don't have to struggle alone. Jesus wants to walk with you through the struggle. I love what 1 Peter 5:10 says. It says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I'm telling you, I don't know what your struggle is, but I know one thing. It doesn't have to be the end of your story. There's a God who helps people overcome struggle, and what looks like the end of a story, when he gets involved, becomes one hell of a story. And so I want you to look at your struggle. I want you to look at your trial. And I want you to put four fingers in the air like this and say, it's the fourth quarter. It's the fourth quarter. I don't know how I'm going to get this victory, but God, if you're in it, I will walk through it with you. Game on. Victory can happen. We win through the struggle.
That's why they call it the Super Bowl of preaching.
Touchdown, Team Mingo.
Come on.
Actually, can I...
Yeah, what is it?
I'd like to go for a two-point conversion.
Going for two, baby.
Going for the conversion.
Well, that'll be important because I didn't want to interrupt you, but you said hell an awful lot in church.
I did.
That's unpreacher-like conduct, which will result in a three-point penalty at the end of this quarter.
Wow.
Ooh, stern warning from the referee. Personal foul.
Who's the referee? So what do I do for a two-point?
Two-point, just give me like 30 more seconds. You just stand right there.
I can do that.
How about that?
Great.
All right. That's great. So this thing of winning, I just want to say, it would be the greatest loss of your life if what you heard today in this is that winning is about you pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. I want you to know that the winning that we're talking about today is available to you through relationship with Jesus. And I love what Kyle said. For some of us, we've been trying to win on our own, and it's time to cross the line of faith. And so wherever you are right now, if you've never crossed the line of faith, I want you to do something physical that communicates to Jesus. And you know what? I'm going in your direction. Right where you are, in your seat, I just want you to move your feet forward. I just want you to move your feet forward just to say, God, I want to surrender my life to you. And I believe some people are doing this for the very first time. And if you are, you just won the greatest victory you could ever have in your life. There's no greater victory than that. And so, God, I just pray right now that for all of us, we would recognize that you have designed us to win, and the ultimate victory is relationship with you. You bring life, you bring strength, you bring transformation, and you bring breakthrough. And so I just pray a blessing on all of us that in our hearts we would move toward you. And I pray that in Jesus, the victor's name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Those 2 points will be converted, as well as probably a few other audience members during that moment. 6 points for a great message, plus 3 points for the use of random phrase, except you had a 3-point penalty. However, there was a 2-point conversion, resulting in an end of game score. Team Mingo 15, Team Tome 15.
It's a tie. Yeah, it's a tie. It's a tie.
A tie at the end of regulation.
But you get one extra point for being the nicest, Chuck. Team Mingo 16, Team Tome 15. Team Mingo is a Super Bowl champion!
We'll take it.
Well, there you have it, folks. Team Mingo with the victory.
That is why they call it the Super Bowl of preaching.
Aquaman, Bird Box, all of that, all next week, same time, same place. We'll see you then.